Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 12, birth of Emperor Parikshit, text number 3.
Tadidang shrotamitschamo gaditum yadi manyase bruhina shraddhananam yashyaganam majachchuka.
Bring me the harmonium. We all respectfully want to hear about him, Maharaj Parikshit, to whom Sukadeva Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge. Please speak on this matter. Report: Sukadeva Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge to Maharaj Parikshit during the remaining 7 days of his life. And Maharaj Parikshit heard him properly, just like an ardent student. The effect of such a bona fide hearing and chanting of the Srimad Bhagavatam was equally shared by both the hearer and the chanter. This defeats the idea that the chanter gets more benefit than the hearer. Sometimes there's that idea that if you're preaching, you get more benefit than if you're hearing. But that's not true. Equally shared by both the hearer and the chanter. Both of them were benefited. Out of the 9 different transcendental means of devotional service to the Lord prescribed in the Bhagavatam, either all of them or some of them, or even one of them, are equally beneficial if properly discharged. Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami were serious performers of the first 2 important items, namely the process of chanting and the process of hearing. And therefore, both of them were successful in their laudable attempt. Transcendental realization is attained by such serious hearing and chanting, and not otherwise. There is a type of spiritual master and disciple much advertised in this age of Kali. It is said that the master injects spiritual force into the disciple by an electrical current generated by the master. And when the disciple begins and the disciple begins to feel the shock, he becomes unconscious, and the master weeps for his exhausting his store of so-called spiritual assets. Such bogus advertisement is going on in this age, and the poor common man is becoming the victim of such advertisement. We do not find such folk tales in the dealings of Sukadeva Goswami and his great disciple, Maharaj Parikshit. The sage recited Srimad Bhagavatam in devotion, and the great king heard him properly. The king did not feel any shock, electrical current from the master, nor did he become unconscious while receiving knowledge from the master. One should not, therefore, become a victim of these unauthorized advertisements made by some bogus representative of Vedic knowledge. The sages of Naimisharanya were very respectful in hearing about Maharaj Parikshit because of his receiving knowledge from Sukadeva Goswami by means of ardent hearing. Ardent hearing from the bona fide master is the only way to receive transcendental knowledge, and there is no need for medical performances or occult mysticism for miraculous effects. The process is simple, but only the sincere party can achieve the desired result.
Om Agyana Timanandasham Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama.
So, would you like to become spiritually enlightened? Would you like to actually transcend all the sufferings of this material existence? Would you like to actually revive your eternal identity, which exists in the spiritual sky in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Or would you prefer to maintain your false sense of identity, which is simply one in a string of millions of false senses of identities that you have had birth after birth after birth after birth. What would you like? Do you want to actually achieve a position of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, or would you rather maintain a position of temporality, ignorance, and suffering? We're not here to force you to do anything. I mean, we're just here to give you a choice. That's the spiritual master doesn't force the disciple to do anything. The spiritual master simply gives the choice if the disciple wants to actually achieve perfection. Then the key is ardent hearing, as Prabhupada has said it again and again and again in this purport. At least three times he has said ardent hearing or ardent student. So that ardency is a very important quality, that fixity, that submissiveness, that determination that, yes, I must learn. You see, a dedicated student, very dedicated to learning. If one is actually ardent, if one is dedicated to hearing, is submissive to hearing the words from the mouth of the spiritual master, the result will be, as described here, transcendental realization. You will actually have an awakening of your identity as a spiritual being. It's not that you will become dysfunctional in this world, in your normal deities of father, mother, housewife, engineer, whatever. You will not be dysfunctional by becoming transcendentally realized. Rather, you will become empowered to do everything perfectly. If you become transcendentally realized, you become empowered to do everything perfectly. Transcendental realization means you actually overcome the four defects of imperfect senses, tendency to be illusioned, committing mistakes, and proudly presenting yourself as a perfect, infallible person when you're making so many mistakes. Cheating, in other words. So, simply by this process of ardent hearing from the bona fide master, then one can actually achieve perfection, spiritual perfection. Someone may say, well, that's all I have to do is hear. I don't want to do anything except to hear. Well, if you actually hear, then naturally you will do. If one has actually heard and realized properly what the bona fide spiritual master is telling you, then naturally your thoughts, your words, and your deeds will reflect what you realized by hearing. If the thoughts, words, and deeds are not in accordance with what you've heard, that means you didn't really fully grasp what was being said. To the extent that one is actually able to practically implement what they have heard, that is the indication of how well they have heard. You see? If they have heard 50%, we will see 50% of implementation. If they have been able to implement 100% the teachings coming down through this wonderful line of spiritual masters, beginning with Krishna himself, if we see that they actually are able to 100% implement, then we know that their hearing is 100%. They've heard 100%, they've understood 100%, so now they're able to implement it 100%. Someone may say, well, can't I just enjoy life? Why should I bother with all this stuff? I mean, this is religion, Religion is, it's okay, once a week, for an hour, the modern day approach to religion is it's fine. Everybody should be religious 1 hour a week. And other times, you should just enjoy yourself. Squeeze as much pleasure as you possibly can out of this world. And then once a week you can be religious, and in this way you'll be good in the eyes of God, and you'll be guaranteed admittance into his kingdom at the time of death. But there's a fallacy in this philosophy. There is a glaring fallacy in this philosophy. That fallacy is that to actually enter into that spiritual kingdom, you have to have the mood of the residents of that kingdom. You see, you have to actually have the demeanor. You have to actually have to have the style of personality that is the style of the inhabitants of the spiritual world. In other words, if you don't have the same attitude that they do, you won't fit in there. You wouldn't be happy there. You see? If one's tendency is for material sense gratification, you wouldn't want to be in the spiritual world, actually. You wouldn't want it. You would be totally out of place then. The point is, if one actually wants to go back to the spiritual world, then one has to enter into a spiritual world atmosphere right here, right now. This is why Prabhupada started ISKCON. Many people find fault with this movement nowadays, but the movement is not at fault. The movement itself is pure and perfect, just like the Ganges River is pure and perfect. Now, in the Ganges, sometimes we find a dead carcass floating or some stool is floating. The Ganges does not lose its purity because something contaminated is floating in it. The Ganges itself is always pure. So in the society of devotees, we may sometimes see impurities there because we all come to this movement with the impurities in our heart. We're all diseased with the tendency to want to lord it over the material nature. So we bring our impurities with us and we come to this movement. So the movement has to then deal with all these impurities. And that's why we have kirtan, because the kirtan drives away these impurities. And that's why we hear and recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. That drives away the impurities. That's why we take Vishadam. This drives away the impurities. This is why we bow down before the Lord, take darshan of the Lord. Because this is why we hear about the Lord's pastimes. We discuss the Lord's teachings. This is why we take shelter of the devotees. This is why we take shelter of a spiritual master. This is why we bow down to a spiritual master. Because all of these activities drive the impurities out of our hearts. So, we need this association. Srila Prabhupada has created a society in which a spiritual atmosphere is being created to the extent that we're actually getting rid of the anarchists in our hearts. We will see that there is the Vaikuntha atmosphere. In fact, Prabhupada said that. He said, this temple, we are not in Los Angeles, we are in Vaikuntha. Because all the devotees are working together cooperatively to serve Prabhupada's mission. And it created a wonderful, wonderful Vaikuntha atmosphere. So we have to create, in our dealings with each other, a wonderful Vaikuntha atmosphere, spiritual world atmosphere, of pure loving service, of gratitude that I have the association of these devotees, even though I don't really deserve it, feeling of gratitude and feeling of appreciation, which is shown by an enthusiasm to do service to the other devotees and to work with the other devotees to serve the Lord. The more we can manifest this wonderful, sometimes it's misunderstood, but actually the more we can have loving relationships, that is the real meaning of our society. Our ISKCON society is based on loving relationships. It's not the buildings. It's not anything else other than the relationships of love that we develop between each other. So the more we can enter into that sweet, wonderful, loving relationships with the devotees, that will create the Vaikuntha atmosphere. And if we ourselves can enter into that mood, then the time of death, we will surely go back to home, back to Godhead. So as we see here, this wonderful relationship between the teacher and the disciple, Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit. We also have to have that relationship. We need to seek out a spiritual master, and we have to develop a relationship with that spiritual master, just as Shukadeva and just like as Pariksit had that relationship with Shukadeva Goswami. That guru-disciple relationship is the most essential ingredient on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. Rupa Goswami gives a list of essential items in bhakti. The first three items are spiritual master. The very first three items are about establishing that proper guru-disciple relationship. This is how we become enabled to realize who we actually are and to get free from all of the nibriti, the impurities in the heart, which will keep us from attaining the spiritual world at the time of death and will force us to take birth again here in this place where there's so many miseries. Birth, death, old age, disease, adiatmic, adibhautik, adidaivik. There's so many types of miseries here. But if you want to get out of these miseries, you simply have to agree to hear submissively from the bona fide spiritual master. Bona fide spiritual master means he is not giving his own ideas, but he is giving the knowledge which is coming from Krishna through the parampara system. You see, someone who gives their own opinion, it's useless, because that who are we to realize, to figure out what the absolute truth is with our tiny brains? Who are we? We don't know. If someone concocts some so-called absolute truth, it's better not to hear from such a person, because they don't know what they're talking about, and if the blind lead the blind, then both of them end up in the ditch. And what is the ditch? That is the cycle of birth and death. So we must hear submissively from the bona fide spiritual master, who is repeating what he has heard from his guru. The symptoms of the spiritual master are described. Tadviganartam sarumeva bhagatshat samit panihi shrotiyam brahma nishtam. If you want to know that absolute truth, tadviginartam saguru meva bhagatshat, then you must approach spiritual master. Must. The vidilind form of the word is used when an action is compulsory. So the eva bhagatshat, certainly you must. Bhagatshat means compulsory. You must go. This way. You must go. Shroti. And who is the bona fide spiritual master? Shrotiyam Brahmanishtam, the one who has heard the authorized message, the Shruti message, Shrotiyam, what is coming from Vedas through the authorized succession, and Brahmanishtam, he is solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. This we require, a bona fide spiritual master who is solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. If we will hear his words with ardency, with submission, with dedication, with faith, then by the mere power of those transmittal sound vibrations, we will be uplifted beyond the quagmire of material existence into that sweet transcendental realm of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So, we can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
I was reading last night in the letter books that hearing is more effective and important than chant, like than reading.
Yes.
So why is that?
Yes. Because there is, of course, the reading is also very, very potent, and Prabhupada did instruct us to read all of his books. That's a fact. But when we read and discuss in the company of the Vaishnavas, there is another principle which comes in, and that is known as synergy. It is synergetic. Synergetic means when the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. You see, the potency you get from reading on your own, and the potency that the others get by reading on their own, that is a certain potency. But when all those potencies are added together, then the sum total is greater than all the sum of all the parts. So it's called synergy. a powerful thing, synergy. It works very well in the transcendental existence. We come together and hear and discuss these things, and the potency is magnified many, many times over. Questions more? Yeah.
When Sukadeva Goswami was giving the Bhagavatam, did all the assembled people got liberated or just Parikshit Maharaj?
Oh yes, everyone who was in that assembly, they got, according to the degree, they all had the same opportunity as Parikshit Maharaj to become, to achieve transcendental realization, according to their degree of ardency, of devotion in their hearing. Parikshit Maharaj heard with complete devotion. Anyone else who also heard with complete devotion, they also got the similar transcendental realization. Any other questions?
You said something about synergy, but according to this...
About what?
Synergy.
Synergy, that's
synergy
right.
Synergy of hearing and discussing things. But it is said that the hearing is more important than the chanting is, because if you haven't heard it, how you cannot chant?
Yes. Prabhupada said, because I have heard nicely now, therefore I'm speaking nicely. Actually, one cannot speak nicely until one has heard nicely. So in that sense, hearing is also, another. That other sense, hearing is more important. Because if, unless you've heard nicely, what you will say, you will simply speculate. You will give some rubbish mental speculation. That's all. So the first business of the disciple is to become very, very fixed in hearing. That's the first business. After all, God gave us 2 ears and only 1 mouth. So the first business of the disciple is to become very, very fixed in hearing. And then, after hearing sufficiently, then one can speak very nicely. But without sufficient hearing, then one can never speak nicely. Not possible. What you will say? Some mental speculation, that's all.
Can you talk about like the process of realization, like how it works, like how it goes from theoretical to practical application?
Yeah. If you will take the theories, the theoretical understanding, and you will practice it, just like in chemistry course, in the lecture you hear H2O equals water, and you write it down in your notebook and you memorize that, H2O equals water. So then you go to the laboratory, and following the instructions in the lab manual, under the direction of the lab the manager, whoever they call him, physician, then you will actually get that water in your test tube. So it's simply a matter of putting what you've heard into practice. If you simply study it theoretically but you never put it into practice, I guarantee you, you will lose interest. We've seen this practically. One young man, he was very keen to study the Bhagavatam. And he would come and he would brag that, well, I've read this. He bought the whole set. He came, and every time he'd come, he'd just say, I've read this far. But he wasn't prepared to actually practice what he was reading, and after some time, he lost interest. So one has to actually put it in practice. You want it, in the beginning, just to hear about it is very exciting and enlivening. I mean, it's incredible knowledge, but unless you really get serious about buckling down and doing it, after some time, well, you move on to something else. Is it? You get tired of it. Prabhupada personally wrote me that in a letter from Paris, 1972. that without practice, the knowledge will become dry and useless. So we have to apply this knowledge. And by applying it, you actually get the realization. Transcendental realization comes by practical application. You're being told to do things with love. So now you have to do it. Bhaktya. With bhakti. Now you have to do it. Our tendency is to begrudgingly do things. Well, if I have to do it, I will, but I'm not really into it. My heart isn't there. No, that's... You have to actually learn how to do things with bhakti, with the spirit of devotion. When your heart is into it, then you're enlivened and happy to do it for Krishna. That's the key. Whatever service you've been given or whatever service is available for you to do, by, you know, common sense, then you should take that opportunity and do it with love. Any other questions? Shashi Priya, do you have any questions? Even everything I said makes sense? Does it all make sense to you? Anything doesn't make sense?
Makes sense.
Well, if something makes sense, does it would make sense to apply it, wouldn't it? Yeah. If something actually makes sense, it sounds reasonable, then it would make sense to do it also.
Sometimes we, I mean, at least we have some problems related to it. Because we have a kid and she's like young and she needs attention.
Yes, so that is all incorporated into the process. We've seen our disciple of Bhai Charan in Austin. He engages in all devotional activities and he engages the son doing with him, just like the old typical American father-son bonding, you know, throwing a baseball back and forth in the front yard, you know. The old traditional way the father bonds with the son. The father throws the son the baseball, the son throws it back, and they stand in the front yard doing that back and forth as a way to bond. So that's how you do it. You do it, you engage in devotional activities, and you engage the child doing it with you. It's not that you tell the child, now you go and do that devotional activity. No. The parent does the devotional activity and does it, engages the child doing it along with, and that creates a bond of love based not on throwing the baseball, but on practicing Krishna consciousness. So in that way, you give full attention to the child. And you give the child a wonderful activity where the child is fully absorbed in a loving relationship with the parent at every minute. I've seen practically how Mataji guide trained him how to do this, how to raise his child in Krishna consciousness. And this child is amazing. He's a 3-year-old boy, and he steps forward to do service. He's like, he'd become a leader at 3 years old. He's leading the adults in devotional activities because he bonded with his father on the basis of doing devotional service together as a father and son team, doing service together. So we see practically if the parents will give the child the attention they want, and instead of that, give them the attention in doing service together for Krishna, then it's a very effective way to make the child totally satisfied and happy, getting the attention he wants. At the same time, doing devotional service together. Just like the father, he'll be cutting vegetables for the Sunday feast, and the child will be given a little dull knife so he can't cut his finger, and he also is cutting vegetables. He's given his own little area where he can cut the vegetables too. You know, cut the salad, you know, a little dull knife so he can't cut his finger, he won't bleed. Give him a knife and let him also cut. Well, the father is cutting vegetables here and the son is over here, he's also cutting his vegetables. You see, and this is an example. The child is engaged along to do exactly, the parents are doing bhakti and the child is doing bhakti right along there beside him. You see, the father is washing dishes, well, the son also, he can give him a dish or two to wash too on the other side of the sink. Give him a bench so he can stand up there and also wash dishes. You see, they're both washing dishes together. In this way, we've seen how this boy is just, he's very Krishna conscious. And so he's getting full attention. He's not just put off somewhere and neglected. He's being given full attention, practically 24 hours a day with a parent. And, all right, now let's do this together for Krishna. And it's a very, very effective system for raising a child in Krishna consciousness. The child is happy, getting all the attention he wants, and now we're doing service together for Krishna. Fantastic formula. It's a very effective way of raising a child. Any other questions? Well, there's not much you can do once they grow up. You gotta let them do what they want. Really. I mean, a small child is very moldable, but once they grow up, forget it. You gotta let them do what they want. What can you do? The parents just have to become very absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and the children want to follow their example. They can. If they don't want to, they can. They don't have to, obviously. You can't force a 13-year-old to be a devotee. No way. Children can choose it or reject it as they choose when they're older. The little ones, they'll do whatever the parents, they're totally moldable. So the parents can train them to be a devotee or train them not be a devotee, depending on what the parents want. If the parents don't want to be devotees, then obviously the children will not be devotees. A young child will naturally follow what the parents are doing. So if the parents want to be Krishna conscious, the child will naturally become Krishna conscious. If the parents don't really want to be Krishna conscious, the child will not be either. Any other questions? Tell me. That's it? Okay. So, we just wanted to thank you all very much for so kindly opening your home and your hearts to us. It's very nice to be here with persons who are wanting to see that Krishna is the center. So we thank you very much for your loving kindness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.